You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to continue a little bit on what we started with last week and go on. And this is one of my favorite messages to preach or to focus upon this, because many people, they want to see the works of God. They want to see the healing, they want to see the deliverance, they want to see the breakthrough. But very few want Jesus to be their friend. They want to see His works, but it's not just about seeing His works, it's about learning His ways. So I want to talk to you today about the amazing Word of God. Amazing Word of God. Because you are in it. I'm in it, but most of all, God is in it. The thing about this book is, you think you're reading it, and you are reading it. But while you're reading this book is busy reading you. Because it's got the ability to discern the intents and the thoughts of a man's heart. The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if you're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, a life that's going to make a difference, be one with a difference, it's about the Word of God. It's about the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Thank you for your word that is full of truth and light and life, O Lord. We ask, Lord, allow the light of your word to shine into our hearts in this day and bring revelation. Touch our hearts that we may receive the word of God with meekness. O Lord, let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Lord. And bring change in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Turn to the person next to you and say, God does nothing without His Word. Family, listen to me. God does nothing without His Word. In the beginning was the Word. God spoke a word into existence when He started to create. He does nothing without His Word. Can you see how important it is to allow the Word of God to become an integral part of your life? Look at verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's Spirit. One who is born of Spirit. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, when it manifested, it was full of grace and truth. This is a book that reads you when you read it. You are in it. Especially if you've accepted God and you've become a son of God, you're in it. I'm in it. But most of all, God is in it. When you open your Bible and you read it, you are meeting with Jesus face to face. Turn to the person next to you and say, here you meet face to face. Can I say this? Many people know the facts about Jesus, but they're not in a relationship with Jesus. You can know this Bible from Genesis to Revelation and still not have a relationship with Jesus, because you need revelation to be able to have a relationship with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What's the mirror? This. This is the mirror. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. If you want to know your full potential, read this. If you want to know what God has planned for you, read this. If you want to know how things are going to work out, read this. When you read this, you discover what God has to say about you. When you start to read this and you meditate upon this, you are talking with God. God is talking to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Read your Bible." You know, many times when people come to me for prayer and they say, "Please pray for me for spiritual stagnation," then I just want to ask them, "Are you reading your Bible?" Because if you read your Bible, your life cannot be stagnant. When you spend time with Jesus and you get His opinion about your life, about yourself, about the people around you, everything will change. Because no state of being is as rewarding as living in tune with God. You can even be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you know you won't have to fear any evil because God is with you. He is your shield, He is your protection, He is your exceedingly great reward. It's important for us to get God's ideas. Too many of us spend more time on the internet, reading more news, all the social media that's out there. It's filling your thoughts, your minds. So you're looking more at what the world is saying and not what He is saying. But when you read this, you will start to walk with God's projects. When people say things are impossible, this word will tell you it's possible. When people tell you you're going under, the word of God will tell you you're going over. That's what I shared with you last week. That you have to replace negative thoughts with the Word of God. Why? Because this Word has got healing power. It's got sanctification power. It's got purification power. When you accept Him, you become a son of God. That means the Word of God has got salvation power. When the Word manifested and we could see its glory full of grace and truth, what does it mean? He came to bring salvation. He sent His word to heal them. The word of God has got healing power. So when you read this, you'll find out what's God's projects. What's God's projects? God's projects is what God has called us to do. One of the God projects that God has given us right now. Reach up, reach in, reach out. When you read this, you'll discover who you are. Discover who you are. Not only who you are, but those around you as well. Get God's opinion about them. Sometimes we look at people from a natural point of view instead of getting heaven's opinion about them. Turn to the person next to you, say, "You are designed to know God's opinion." Let me just say this, family. If you want to know God's opinion, you're going to have to spend time in the Word of God. You know what's the amazing thing about the Word of God? The less you read it, the less you want to read it. It's not like us. When you don't eat and you're really hungry, you want to eat a lot. When you're really hungry, you want to eat a lot. But the Word of God doesn't work like that. The more you read it, the more you want to read it. But the less you read it, the less you start to read it. So you must know how these things work in the Spirit. Amen? So when you read this, you'll know what is God's project for your life. You'll know what God has planned for you. Amen? What you're supposed to live for. Joseph had a prophetic picture of the things that God had planned for him. He went through difficult times, but that picture was in front of him the whole time. When you don't know God's purpose and plan for you, you'll be running in all different directions. When you don't know God's purpose and plan, you know where you go. Then you want to go here. Let me see what's going on Facebook. Checking everybody's WhatsApp feeds. Bad day. Hate them. And you spend time. Oh, this is a good quote. And many of those quotes are not even scriptural, biblical. But you take it as the true gospel. Many times people that you're talking to on Facebook see a beautiful picture there. But behind that beautiful picture is a devil. Young people, listen to me. So where you put your eyes, what you treasure, is where your heart is going to go. So be very careful where you put your focus. You have to have more Bible time than screen time. Unless you read your Bible here, but teenagers, we're not buying that, amen? You can never be constant in your view of life and where God is taking you unless you've got this opinion in your life. Because the only thing that's constant is this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He loved you yesterday, He's going to love you today and He's going to love you tomorrow. Amen? Even if you make a mistake. But if you're not spending time with Him face to face, you're not going to know that. Why is it important to read the Word of God? Because the more you read it, the more familiar you're going to become with His voice. Because in this world right now, there are many voices. Many times you don't know, am I busy talking to myself? Is it me, myself, and I having a conversation here? Is it the devil speaking to me? Or is it God? Can I tell you something about the Word of God? The more you read it, the more the familiar His voice will become to you. But let me tell you something. God will always speak to you in a familiar voice. When you look at the example of young Samuel, when the Lord called him and he went to Eli and he said, are you calling me? He says, no, I'm not calling you. Go and sleep again. After a while, Eli realized that God was calling the young boy. He said, when he calls again, say, here I am. But come and tell me what he told you. Because Eli was not hearing the voice of God anymore. Because of many things in his heart. But the young boy heard the voice. It teaches us. He thought it was Eli calling him. It means, young Samuel, when God speaks to you, He's going to speak to you in a familiar voice. Not in a weird, funny voice. Amen? Can I say that again? It's a familiar voice. It's a voice that you will know. It's not, this is God. No, it's not like that. Amen? It's that still familiar voice here on the inside. Amen. I didn't know I had that voice. Amen. The more you read this, the more you understand yourself. Can I say this? In a generation where we have so many questions, who am I? Why am I here? Am I? Go read this and hear what God is saying about you. When you read the Word of God, Don't play Russian roulette with your Bible. I have to go to work. I wonder what the boss is going to do today. Let me just see quickly. Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. No, he's not even a Christian, my boss. Let me just try again. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? Huh? And where did you work?" Work? "Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Don't read your Bible like that. Amen. Read your Bible systematic. Start in the beginning and read it right through to the end. Read it attentively. Read it slowly. Read it as if God is speaking to you. Don't read and think, "Oh, I'm going to read today and I'm offended with that one. Let me hear what God is saying to me about that person." No. Read it as if God is speaking to you. Because you are the one spending time with Jesus. Amen? Maybe let me just say what I do. I read the Bible systematic, but I start by reading a proverb. I read a proverb every day just to get a bit of wisdom. Amen? Because there's a lot of wisdom in there, a lot of advice for us in the marketplace where we go. And then I read it systematically. And when I read it, I take it as if God is speaking to me. Can I just say this? You have to read this as if your life depends upon it. Because our lives depend upon this. Our very life comes from Christ Jesus. This word that saved us. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, "Read your Bible." When you read this, it will keep you away from sin. I shared with the people yesterday from Proverbs 19, where it says, "Be kind and be gentle." I said, sometimes a proverb can come a day too late, amen, when somebody's made you angry on the 18th, and you read on the 19th, "Be kind." Has that happened to you? Only happens to pastors, okay? Don't worry, only happens to pastors. But I said, that was instruction in righteousness. Like Pastor Marius a while back when we were sharing, he says he's really working on being kind. And I'm thinking, he's one of the kindest people that I know, and he's saying he wants to be more kind. I say, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, amen." When people are so merciful, and then you hear they say, "I'm praying and asking God to help me to be more merciful." Because they're not comparing themselves to the people around them, they're comparing themselves to Jesus. And this is what the Word of God will do. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Read your Bible." Why? Because this is your spiritual weapon. It's food for your soul. The Bible says when you receive this word with meekness into your heart, it's able to save your soul. It's able to change your way of thinking. So when you read something here and you take it to heart, you allow it to become an integral part of yourself. By its very nature, it will start to change you. But when you reject this word of God, it stands back. But when you receive it with meekness, it changes you. Let me use a good example. As Christ has forgiven me, I should forgive. Not Jesus, forgive me the way you forgive, but the way I forgive, I'm still angry with him. Am I talking to the right people here? So when you learn what God has made you for, everything about your life will change. You will treasure it. You'll say, "God, help me." Your first prayer every day will be, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Empower me, strengthen me." Because you'll know you cannot live this life on your own. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when we read the Bible, when we're going through a crisis, we can read this Bible with selfish motives. Objectives that does not line up with the Word of God. But when you come and you read this with humility and sincerity of heart, the Bible says the Word of God is able to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. And that's very important because God wants us to have a pure heart. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Am I talking to the right people here today? This word has got purification power. When I read that God wants to bless me, I want to understand why God wants to bless me, the reasons He wants to bless me, and discover what He wants me to do with that blessing. But if I'm reading it for selfish reasons, just to get blessed, then everything is about me. But I want to find out, how does He want to use me? The Word of God will reveal all of that to you. We should have a desire for the Word of God. Amen? There was a time when I read the Bible and I'm coming to God to say to Him what I want to hear. Have you ever read the Bible like that? You have a crisis and you think, I think this is the best solution, God. And I've heard somebody say this, or I've read a prayer book say this, and now I'm coming to God with that reading like that. Never do that. Lay those things aside and hear what God wants to say to you. We're not here to instruct God. God is here to instruct us. Amen? Let me give you a good example. We've all read books on prayer. Some books on prayer has got a section that is called Return to Sender. Have you ever read on that? Oh, you want to curse me? Return to sender, return to sender, return to sender. Why would you want to do that? When you read something like that, you have to view it in the light of God's Word. When God says, I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, why do you want all your enemies dead? Am I talking to the right people here? If God says, I want to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, why do you want to return things when they want you to die? Why do you want them to die? Say, no, I want you alive. Because God is busy preparing a table for me in your presence so that you can see God's goodness. And on this table, He's going to put the essentials of life. Can I just say this? When you are praying, you have to be reading your Bible. A matter of fact, your prayers should be filled with Scripture. Not just prayers that people wrote when they were offended. I'm telling you now, use this when you pray. There are many prayers in here that you can pray for people. If people are in a moment of darkness, the Lord is the light of your salvation, you shall not fear. The Lord is the strength of your life, of whom shall you be afraid? When you have a lack, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The praise in Colossians, in Ephesians, for people to understand the width and the length and the depth of God's love. When people are feeling insecure, pray those prayers for them. Pray those prayers for yourself. Don't just take something in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. First go see if the name of Jesus is going to back it. Jesus did not come to kill and steal and destroy. He's come to bring life and life in abundance. So, if you want your prayers to be effective, make sure that they are filled with the Word of God. Can I just say this? You cannot pray of yesterday's Bible reading because His mercies are new every day. Find a fresh and new word every day and hear what God is saying to you. One small word is enough. So let me just say this. When people are against you, don't pray against them. Daniel, when people were against him, he didn't pray against them. He didn't say, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, time for spiritual warfare meeting. We have to bind the king and the wicked people working around him. We have to resist him and rebuke them. They didn't do that. The Bible says he went on his knees 3 times that day and gave thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for being my shield. Thank you for being my protection. Thank you for being my exceedingly great reward. I don't know what he prayed, but he gave thanks. No rebuking, no cursing, no binding, giving thanks. Why? Because faith is acknowledging what you already have. And when you say, thank you that I have it. Thank you that you're my protection. And when you pray those kind of faith prayers, God will always do far more abundantly than what you can imagine. He was saying, thank you. Jesus was busy closing lions' mouths. So I will not send things back to people. Why? Because many of those people that have sent things to us, they're still coming back. Amen? And if you've sent things to them, then they're going to feel, that pastor prayed against me, that pastor sent things against me, how can I come now? But when they know, no, we bless you. That's what Jesus said. He says, when they curse you, bless them. Why? Because they're not cursing you. They're cursing Jesus on the inside of you. Amen? Be quick to help them and say, I'm going to bless you. When they despitefully use you, be quick to pray for them. Turn to the person that you say, don't send it back. God is aware. You know, we have the ability to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays as He wills. You can go on your knees and say, thank you, Father, like a Daniel. But the Holy Spirit praying in you and through you closes the mouths of lions, becomes a fire around you, puts it in the heart of the king who's not even a believer to pray and fast the whole night for you. So many times we want to pray and fast and think we can use that to twist God's arm. Fasting does not change God. Fasting changes us. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, fasting changes us. So, I think we sometimes miss the end of what prayer is really about. But let our prayers line up with the Word of God. Find some scriptures. You know, it's the only way I know how even to counsel, and sometimes when I have to give advice, is just to give scriptures. Just to give scriptures and quote scriptures in a situation. When you take God's word to heart, receiving the word of God with meekness, when you take God's word to heart and you allow it to become an integral part of your life, by its very nature, it will start to change you and you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God. Can I give you some advice? Just start with 15 minutes again. If you've not been reading your Bible consistently, start with 15 minutes. People say, 15 minutes, that's too little. 15 minutes is enough. Because when you are faithful with the 15 minutes, that will quickly grow. Because the more you read this, the more you want to read this. So start with 15 minutes. Start by reading just 10 minutes and praying 5 minutes. And the next day, change it around. Pray 10 minutes, read 5 minutes. And you'll see what this word will do. When you get God's opinion about yourself, desire the word of God. Desire it, and you'll see how it will change you. The Bible says in the book of Peter, it was holy men. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. That's how prophecy came into existence. That's how the word of God was put down on paper. Holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they started writing holy scriptures. Isaiah wrote, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. The Holy Spirit breathed into him and he wrote that. And it became the word of God. So when you read this, I want to tell you, you have a divine nature and a human nature. But everything here is God-breathed. So when you start to declare the word of God over your situation, you will start to see change. Turn to the person that you say, declare the word of God. Turn to the person on the other side and say, go find your scripture this week. So when you start to read this, when you start to allow this to become a part, you'll get involved in God's projects. When you get involved in God's projects, you'll see your life will change completely. Nothing will be the same. But you have to make a decision to say, this word is going to be my priority. Job says, God will be our silver and our gold. He says, this word must be the most precious thing in your life. Not resources and finances out there. This. Because when you read this, it changes everything about you. It will tell you who you are. It will tell you about your wife. It will tell you about your children. It will tell you about your boss. It will tell you about your family. We have to view everything in the light of God's word. Even when somebody preaches to you a message and you get goosebumps, goosebumps doesn't mean it's the truth. Hello? Goosebumps just means you have got goosebumps. You still have to go look and see if it's in the word of God. So, I'm going to close with this and challenge you, go and read your Bible. Go make time and spend time with Jesus, because every time you open this, you're meeting with him face to face. If you want to be a Christian, you have to read your Bible. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have to read your Bible. You cannot say you're somebody's friend if you're not spending time with them. If you say that you're a friend of Jesus, you have to spend time with him. I'm just going to close with this concerning the Word of God. This book is written for your success. This book is written for your success. When you read Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is the biblical way. This is the Jesus way. Number one, the word in your mouth. Turn to the person next to you, say, the word of God in your mouth. So I just want to ask you, what is the scripture that you are confessing? What is the word that you are holding on to? When the future doesn't look too great and fear wants to grip your heart, then Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? So the word of God in your mouth, declare it. Number two, meditate upon it. Why do you need to meditate upon it? Because you need revelation. You need revelation. I can know I have to forgive. I can know that I have to forgive. I can know not to take offense. Turn to the person as you say, you know you should not get offended. Say, but you know, in the past week, offense came to you. Am I right? How do I know that? Because Jesus said in Luke 17:1, offense will come to everyone. So offense is going to come to you. But what do you do with that offense? The word of God will tell you what to do with that offense. But you need revelation. Because everybody that's offending you is making you get angry and angry and angry and angry. But when you have revelation that offense is your friend, see, this pastor is lost it. How can offense be my friend? When you know offense is your friend, what do I mean? You know when offense comes to you, you run to your friend Jesus. You say, oh, I just got offended again. I got so angry. He's going to say, No, Jesus knows you. So go and talk to him about your feelings and your hurts and your disappointments. So when somebody makes you offended, run to the Word. Run to Jesus. Because he's going to show you how to get out of it. Amen? Going to show you how to protect your heart, how to guard your heart. Then offense becomes your friend, because every time somebody offends you, you know, you have revelation of how much you need God not to get offended, not to take the offense. Amen? He says, because when you start and you observe and you do it, turn to the person next to you, say, faith acts now. So when you observe to do it, he says, only then I'm going to make your way successful. Do you know what that means? It means the only proof of your faith is your obedience. The only proof that you believe what is written in here is your obedience. So every time you read the Bible, you're spending time with Jesus. Every time you open this, you're meeting with him face to face. And he's giving you instruction in righteousness. So start by reading the Word of God every single day. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.